lot of people that ridicule, like, guys, like, fucking people that buy Sportsman, they're fucking suckers. I'm like, yeah, and you bought Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, what's the fucking difference? It's the same game with five different Pokemon. Come on!
What are you doing?
Go fuck yourself!
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself!
And Titanfall's cool.
That game is dope.
That's a good game. It's a good game. Just go check out that video. It's on our site. Wait, what's this? It's a podcast. It's the Video Struck Podcast. It's time for the Video Struck Podcast. As if you didn't know that because you clicked on this link. And you knew that already because you're here. And I'm here with a microphone. In your house.
Wait, are you still talking to the listener?
No, I'm talking to you now.
Oh, hey!
I'm still talking to you now.
All right!
Woo! Yeah, we're on now. Got some cool videos out on the site today, or this week.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I've played video games.
You played some video games, and we're putting that stuff up, so.
Well, and Madden came out this week, so guess what? It's time for video games to come out again.
That is true. That's the starter gun.
When Madden looks out from his hole up the side of the Madden Cruiser, and if he sees the shadow of a turducken, that means it's time for video games. If he doesn't, that means two more weeks of winter.
Two more weeks of winter. It's more video games. There it is. Oh, man. Good old Madden. What is it? What are they up to? Like
this is the
37th iteration?
28th installment of
Madden. Jesus Christ.
25 was 3 years ago.
Good God. Is it really changed that many times? No.
This new generation of them is actually really fucking cool.
I'm sure they're good, but
have the gameplay, like, systems. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go and play Madden 2001.
Right.
For the PlayStation 2, mm-hmm. the launch game,
sure.
and go and play this one,
mm-hmm.
they are incredibly different. But
oh,
if
sure.
you play Madden from 2 years ago and play this game, it's an evolution, not a revolution.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's never, yeah, it's as you said, like, when you upgrade to the new system, it's like, oh, this is crazy, and then, like, the next few will be the same, and yeah.
And here's the thing, is that, you know, it's not necessarily always about the changes, it's, as somebody who's way fucking into sports, like, mm-hmm. I want the latest rosters.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And whatever. Like, if it's a game that you're way into and it's, like, one of the three games that you play a year and it's, like, you gotta pay $60 a year to get Madden, who gives a fuck? Whatever.
Who cares? Yeah.
It's like people come out and buy the new NBA every year and they never play the story modes. They never use any of the new features that they put in them. They just right. want to fucking have LeBron be on the right damn team.
Well, LeBron's not on Cleveland on this game, so I need to buy
and I can move him there, but then the other team's stats won't be right, and I don't feel like completely rebalancing the entire... Fine, I'll just buy the new game. You know, like, because...
It's true.
When I think about the kinds of guys that run out and they buy the new Madden, it's... Think about it this way. Tiger Woods was always a franchise that aimed itself at the higher class consumer.
Sure.
$60 a year got you the new Tiger Woods. And do you know what they also offered as a DLC option?
Yeah.
Was you could pay $10 and they would give you a completely maxed out golfer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that you could hop online with your other friends because you're Wall Street brokers and be able to play through the game with a golfer that's on a level, like you play the game all the time, but you don't have the time to do it.
Sure.
You could say that, hey, that's paying for cheat codes or whatever, but
yeah.
when you're talking about something that can potentially affect the online environment, at least EA exhumed some kind of control over that.
True.
Whatever. True. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, who cares? Like, yeah.
Guess what? If you play the game, you'll get a maxed out golfer. Who gives a shit? And if you worked to get the maxed out golfer, odds are you're going to be way better than the guy that paid for the maxed out golfer.
It's true. It's true.
Because you were trying to hit eagles on par five when you had a like level 5 guy, not a level 100. So
true.
Yeah,
you're gonna thread that needle a lot better.
I don't care.
Right.
When it comes to this, like, I'm not buying Madden every
right.
year.
Sure.
But I buy Forza every year.
Yeah, exactly. You're a Forza guy.
I don't give a shit. I buy Call of Duty every year. It's the same damn thing.
It's fine. You know, people have their games.
There's a lot of people that ridicule, like, guys, like, fucking people that buy Sportsman, they're fucking suckers. I'm like, Yeah, and you bought Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby. What's the fucking difference? It's the same game with five different Pokemon. Come on!
What are you doing?
Go fuck yourself!
Go fuck yourself. That's how this is starting. Go fuck yourself!
Go fuck yourself! All right,
that's
so.
Going in the theme song, actually. Anyway, so yeah. But we're going to talk about Bioshock today. Not Madden. We're talking about Bioshock.
Yeah, our old-ass game of the day is we're getting close to the 10-year anniversary, and I try to pick games that are around 9 to 10-ish years old or older to talk about. We hadn't talked about something pretty recent here in a while, so I picked Bioshock.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out when I was 22 years old. And that's pretty long. It's a long time ago. I don't care what anybody says. So
I was a... Junior in college.
Yeah, there you go.
2007. Kind of a while ago in some ways. Yeah. It also doesn't feel like that long ago.
But
I thought it was a really good time for us to talk about Bioshock, given the fact that a few weeks from the time you'll be hearing this podcast, the Bioshock Collection is coming out, which is the HD up-res of Bioshock 1, Bioshock 2, and then the PC version of Infinite being brought to the console. So you're going to get 1080, you're going to get 60 frames, you're going to get all the missing graphical effects on the consoles. And then they did a really cool thing for the PC version of Bioshock 1 and Bioshock 2 for the PC people.
Yeah.
You pay $4 and they'll give you the upgrade.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. You know, and they're not releasing an upgraded version of Infinite because Infinite already looked great.
Right, it already looked
like,
fine.
That game, I've been playing it here recently.
Yeah.
That game looks perfect.
Still looks good, huh?
Perfect.
Perfect game.
It's graphically, that is a 100% top-to-bottom complete package.
Yeah.
And I've been going back and I've been playing some Bioshock 1 because before I sat down with the HD up-res, the refreshed edition, I wanted to, have a realistic memory in my mind, not the rose-colored glasses vision of Bioshock. Oh, it's absolutely perfect looking. It's, completely immersive and it's 100%, benchmarking games technology. It's kind of not that anymore, but it still looks great.
Right.
As far as games have come in the last 10 years, some of that, the cutting-edge stuff from 10 years ago still looks really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah, for sure.
No, it's definitely obvious, when you play, Halo the Master Chief Collection.
Right.
Halo 3 at 1080p and 60 frames still looks great.
Still looks good, yeah.
Still looks great.
Yeah, I mean, it's as long as you can kind of temper your judgment on things like that. It's like, well, it's 10 years ago. It's 15 years ago. It's like, but, if something still looks good, like for when that was out, it's like, oh, yeah, still holds up. Doom 3 still holds up. It's like, stuff like that. And that was forever ago.
And one thing that, you really have to keep in mind when it comes to old games is that, especially if you're playing it on a PC now, or playing like an HD up-res where you get the high resolution and the better frames.
Right.
No matter what, even if they don't change any of the textures, the resolution bump and that frame rate bump does wonders.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Wonders for the look of a game because fluidity is underappreciated in this world.
Right.
Like, there are so many people that are so comfortable. 30 frames is perfect for me. 30 frames looks fine.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
60 is where it is, and
that's
it's just,
where it's at.
Well, you get all those V-sync errors at 30. Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's, but they end up having to add all this motion blur and everything to it so that you don't get all that V-sync tearing, all those vertical tears that you get in the picture and everything. 60 is the definition of what you should be striving for.
Right, yeah.
It's not, like, I don't look at a game that's 30 frames and, thumb my nose at it. But when you take that same game that was, breathtaking 10 years ago at 30 and then make it run at 60 now at a higher resolution, it's just like, oh, I feel like I'm seeing this for the first time. And
my eyes have been opened.
Yeah, it's like, oh, and this game, in a lot of cases, it plays better. And it, aiming feels a little bit more precise. And, it definitely changes things. And it's not because I'm using mouse and keyboard, because I'm playing Bioshock with a controller, fuckers.
And that's the thing. That's the other, that's what a lot of people don't, that's the argument that people is, oh, graphics aren't everything. Graphics aren't. They're not everything. But, when you have a shooter game, or a game where you have to aim something, and you're at 60 frames rather than 30, it feels better. It just does. You can't argue against it. It's like you feel more fluid. There's better motion. All sorts of stuff.
So. I know that there are huge Destiny fans out there, and they all love it, and it's absolutely fantastic. I think Destiny's pretty cool myself.
Yeah.
But if you sit down with two games that are of comparable design, Halo 5 and Destiny. Halo 5 runs at 60. Destiny runs at 30. Destiny feels sloppy by comparison.
Yeah.
If you're comparing simply the shooting.
Yeah.
The pointing a gun at something and killing it.
Right.
30 versus 60 is obvious.
Right, yeah. There you go.
And it's meaningful, especially with a controller where, you know, you're doing all you can with a fairly imprecise instrument.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. So, there you go. Before we get into too much into BioShock, which we haven't yet, obviously, we're going to talk about some news that happened, some news that went on. We got PlayStation Slim leaked. The design of that, not super slim, but it's slimmer than that one. We'll give that. It's like half of that top second half. Like, is that about as slim as
it? All right, here's the thing. Does that thing look like an Apple TV to you?
A little bit, doesn't it? It does look a little bit like an Apple TV. It's not white.
I think it's ugly.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't look very good. I mean, I thought that looked fine, but you know,
I think the PS4 looks like garbage.
You don't like the PS4?
The box design of that thing. Granted, I don't think the Xbox One is a looker.
Right.
I think the Slim, the S. I think that thing's a sharp looking piece of electronics.
Right.
I like white electronics.
Sure.
I like the kind of honeycomb look to it. Mm. I think that looks good. Sure. I like a matte finish as opposed to a gloss finish. Because gloss finishes, unless it's a very high quality piece of plastic, they scratch up immediately.
They scratch.
You can breathe at it, and it's just scratches.
Scratches everywhere.
Yeah, like my Xbox One, where it got shipped away and shipped back to me because of that misaligned drive.
Right.
That thing looks like it's been through a fucking war zone.
It got shipped through friggin'
it got shipped to Bangladesh, thrown downstairs, put back in the box,
thrown through D-Day, and just came back.
Tom Hanks hand delivered it.
Private Ryan.
I lost four of my Xboxes trying to save yours. How does that make you feel? I don't think that slim console looks very cool. The cool thing about that leak. Was that Eurogamer caught wind, they're announcing the slim PlayStation.
Right.
Okay, this is actually going to be the second revision, third console of the PlayStation 4.
Sure.
Last year, they revised the system and replaced them. If you got one of the Uncharted collection bundles, odds are you have one of the systems that doesn't have capacitive buttons on the front of it.
Sure.
They have push buttons.
Push
now,
buttons instead.
Because they had quite a few errors. Luckily, mine hasn't done it. Where the capacitive buttons go out.
Right. I think Tim has the push button. I think his version is.
His is pretty new. His is the push button.
Yeah,
it's got
push button. It feels like I'm pushing a button.
Yeah, like that one is just you lay it on there. It's heat sensitive.
Right. It's heat sensitive to.
So yeah, like they've got rid of the capacitive touch, and I think they changed. The size of one of the fans in there. They were,
right.
There were some rumblings, and there's some evidence to go with it with those launch era PS4s that there's some issues with heat in those things and peeling up some of the, not widespread enough, like not 50% Xbox 360 fail rate or anything, but it sounds like those things had some reliability and some long-term issues.
Sure.
But no more than you'd expect from other pieces of electronics, but, it looks like they made some changes to that, and it sounds like the newer ones are a little better.
Yeah.
So Eurogamer caught wind that, hey, this guy got his hands, off of this auction site, he bought a slim PlayStation 4. And they said, bullshit. He said, well, come on.
Bullshit.
So they came over.
Right,
and
yeah.
The guy let him fire it up and take pictures of it all around.
Right.
Apparently they took the optical port off of that thing, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Which means that if you buy a slim PlayStation 4, your Astro headsets may not work anymore.
Hmm.
Kind of bad.
The Astro headset. Okay, gotcha.
It uses that 5.1 optical,
right.
Gotcha. So, yeah, without that optical port, it sounds like headset compatibility might be an issue.
I was thinking the VR thing, and I'm like, I thought that's the reason they had the Slim, was to go better with the VR. Like,
no, that's what the PlayStation Neo is
the
for.
The Neo, that's the Neo. I apologize.
And I guess to kind of wrap all this together, they basically they showed up in, you know, all the packaging materials. It's all out there.
Right.
There's apparently a slightly different controller now.
Yeah.
I'm holding one to kind of display this to Brandon so he knows what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've seen the pictures.
Right.
The controller's different. Apparently the internals are slightly different, and there is a light here now so that the light on the front of the controller is for tracking.
Right.
But it's also used in a lot of games. So, like, say you're getting chased by cops, it'll be red, blue, red, blue, flash at you.
Yeah.
So now there's a strip here where you can see it, because battery life wasn't enough of an issue already with these pieces of shit that now
you have two lights going on.
So this thing will last for 45 minutes instead of 50. Piece of fucking garbage.
You hate this controller, don't you?
I think that controller's fantastic, right, but that battery is a piece of shit.
The battery is, yeah.
Mine's constantly plugged in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how anybody plays any games.
The only reason mine lasts is because I typically navigate through Netflix with it, and that's it. So.
Holy shit, if you are playing video games with that thing, good fucking luck. Like, I own one PlayStation 4 controller because I refuse to fucking buy another one until they make one with a bigger battery in it.
Right.
And then as soon as that one comes out with a bigger battery in it, I'm throwing this thing down the fucking stairs.
You don't even have stairs here.
Right out in front of my house.
Oh, in front of your house.
Right out in the street.
No, it's okay. Into the street with you.
Throw it at a cat or something. I don't know.
I want to record a video of that. Just like...
Fucker.
It's like you unboxing your... Hey! You open up, plug it in, and you just cut to the outside.
Yeah! Go to hell!
Like, just old man.
So, yeah, so the other thing that's tied along with that is that on September 7th, they're unveiling the Slim. I assume they're going to be talking about more PlayStation VR stuff because that comes out in, like, September 30th, I believe is when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that's the huge rumor is that that's when they're going to be talking in big, greater depth.
Sure.
About the PlayStation Neo.
Yes.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I guess, what is that, 2 weeks from Wednesday?
Yeah, sure.
No, a week from Wednesday.
A week from Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah.
From Wednesday, yeah.
So, from the time of us recording this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, we're, I'll be sitting down watching that, and I assume that we'll record some kind of podcast where we kind of wrap up what we think about that thing. So
sure, yeah.
So that week you might end up getting two.
Yeah,
might get two. So we'll probably do a double shot.
Do a double shot.
That bang, bang. But yeah. So outside of that, like, you know, they got to fire up the PlayStation Slim and everything. I think that thing's hideous. Without an optical port, that might be an issue for you as well.
Right.
And that new controller sounds like a shit show.
Yeah.
More lights.
More lights.
Fuck off.
Woo! Lights. But how do you know you're getting damaged by zombies unless you see the thing flashing red in front of you in your controller? Because when I look, where I look when I'm playing a game is at my controller.
What I want is somebody who wears glasses is another thing to glare in my fucking glasses when I'm playing games in the dark. Fuck you.
Oh, that's awesome.
The fact that they've gone 3 years and haven't addressed the battery in this thing.
Right, yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Have there been complaints about the battery?
Yes! It's garbage!
Oh, you broke me there. Oh, Jesus.
In every single video game, I turn off the audio cues from the controller so the speaker's not on.
Right.
I have the light as dim as it will go.
Right.
And I'm lucky to get one play session in before that thing is dead.
Jesus
Christ. And that's not even a launch system, because I got rid of my system, got another one,
got a new
and
one,
this
yeah.
one's not even a year and a half old yet.
Right.
It's probably been fucking charged 50 times, if that.
Jesus. There you go. Yeah.
Fucking shit.
That's garbage.
I love that system. I think the PlayStation 4 is fucking awesome.
Right.
I've been playing a shitload of it lately between Deus Ex, No Man's Sky, Trackmania.
Yeah.
I played a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, I would say I've beaten more games on the PlayStation 4 than I have on anything else.
Right. Hence why you know the battery life is
Yeah, we fucking met. Me and that USB fucking micro cable. Yeah, we fucking met.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a micro cable, too. Like, it's like everything else is a fucking mini, but that's a micro cable. Yeah, it's so irritating. All right, moving on to Abduction.
Abduction.
Not abduction, abduction.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. I will hopefully, sometime in the next few weeks, I'll have the time to sit down and play this game.
Sure.
New game from the guys who made Myst.
Guys.
They formed a new studio. The game has a really good visual style to it. I recommend going and watching some trailers for this thing.
Yeah.
Basically, what they did is they made two games in one.
Hmm.
You can play that game like Myst, where you go screen to screen to screen.
Okay.
But everything's rendered in full 3D.
Hmm.
And you can investigate and solve puzzles that way. Okay. Or you can play it like fucking Firewatch.
Oh, cool. So,
yeah.
So you're walking around, actually, you know.
And there's totally, what is Matt Hardy's robot's name?
Vanguard 1.
There's totally a Vanguard 1 that flies up in that in the beginning of that game, and I'm like, oh,
why?
Shit!
Why do I know Matt Hardy's robot's name?
Because it's great.
Have you seen the video where he's driving the car?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Vanguard 1. Oh, man. But, yeah. Just an excuse for
Senior Benjamin is actually sending me a signed 8x10.
Is he? Really?
Yeah, I won a Twitter contest with him.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
He said, thank you, senor.
Thank you, senor. Get us your 8x10. Senor Benjamin.
I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm preparing the battlefield for massacre.
Massacre.
Oh, man, that's great.
So, Abduction looks cool. I just wanted to mention that, like, you know, for all of you guys that are interested in weird old PC shit, like, how many of us grew up on Myst and Riven and Exile?
Yeah.
It's really cool to see those guys, like, just like so many of those teams are coming back together to kind of forge a new initiative and make something.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Abduction turned out really well.
Right.
If you're trying to Google this right now, instead of Abduction, A-B, this is O-B-D-U-C-T-I-O-N.
Yeah. Abduction.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool looking game that I want to lay my hands on. And it has like a soft lighting thing that also immediately made me think Firewatch, and I was like, oh man, it's like I'm going back to fucking Wyoming, man.
Going back to Firewatch.
Woo! I love Firewatch.
You do. You enjoy that game.
That game's so good.
You enjoy that game. You had a whole review on that one.
I have another thing to mention that I forgot to put in the news notes that I'll go ahead and toss in right here.
Go ahead.
Do you remember when they had a Toe Jam and Earl?
Oh, that's right! Yeah.
Kickstarter?
Yes! Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl's getting there.
I don't think that game looks any good.
No, you know, it is, yeah.
No.
I just know that it was, like, off or whatever.
It looks like they are plucking the heartstrings of, oh, it looks kind of like the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look grungy like I want it to. I didn't think the rap was that good. I'm gonna reserve judgment. But I didn't look at that and go, oh, fuck yeah! As somebody who loved Toe Jam and Earl 1,
right.
I don't like anything else. I think 2's bad. I think 3 is garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck, Toe Jam and Earl.
I feel like the people that are excited about that are the kind of people that would be excited about an Earthworm Jim or fucking Booger Man game. Fuck you.
Do you remember how Earthworm Jim was bad after the first level?
Do you remember how Earthworm Jim was not even that great on the first level?
It's okay.
Like, plasma!
Like, there are levels of that game that works. Visually, it's beautiful. But then you just get to parts of it that's just like, it doesn't work.
It's bad.
It's like Battletoads. It's just like, it's just part of this does not work.
I would rather play Avoid the Noid.
Yeah. We should play Avoid the Noid on this channel.
Find us a copy of Avoid the Noid.
You know,
find us an emulator of Avoid the Noid. Because I'm not going to pay for a copy of Avoid the
emulator
Noid.
Emulator I could find. Yeah. I'm not going to find a copy of
Avoid the Noid. Find us a MAME copy of Avoid the Noid.
Avoid the Noid. We got to find a MAME copy of fucking...
Windjammers?
Windjammers is what we need to do.
Yeah, but... Well, actually, I have arcade sticks.
Do you?
So, I've got 360 arcade sticks that'll plug into a PC. Might be able to do a Windjammer stream for our live stream.
Yeah!
What if we had just one computer that just played Windjammers the whole time.
Yeah! Like, the whole night, just over there in the corner.
I was thinking a Shenmue stream, like, that my personal Twitch would be just a Shenmue stream.
Right.
But what if it was Windjammers?
What if it was Windjammers? And we just played Windjammers all day and all night.
Well, somebody could play Windjammers all day.
Right, yeah. So, we could switch out.
Yeah.
Like, just like, I'm gonna go to the Windjammers corner.
Yeah.
I'll be alright.
If you need me, I'll be in the bear cave. That's what we'll call it.
The bear cave. I'll be over here. I'll be go here jamming some wind. Like,
yeah.
Chucking some power discs. Anyway. But there you go. So yeah, Toe Jam and Earl. Not looking good, apparently. I just saw the whole, like, thing that was like, hey, it's ready or whatever. Like,
well,
it's coming out.
So. It's coming out in 2017.
Well, yeah, but it's
but
like...
the trailer's up.
Sure, the trailer's up. Meaning meaning something got made, at least. So,
like, at least. I'm still not entirely sure.
We'll see. Yeah.
Until a game is on shelves.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Digital shelves.
Digital shelves.
Not of the opinion that it's real.
All right, cool.
Like, yeah. You notice they...
I have a
are you a little weirded out that they still haven't said fucking word one about Shenmue yet?
Oh yeah, no. I think you're right. It's probably not going to happen. That game's probably not going to happen.
That'll come out, but I think that game is going to be fucking shit.
Oh, probably. It's probably going to be garbage. There's only
you ever really wanted to date a girl?
Yes. Like a specific one, right?
Yeah. That has, like, a checkered past with men, and she keeps dating all these assholes, and you're like, man, I could make her happy.
I do avoid those. I don't personally. But I know the scenario you're talking about, yes.
And you're like, man, I could be the one that could make her happy.
Yeah, I know
that. And then
that.
You finally date her, and you find out that she's the fucking problem.
Oh, wait. There's a reason they've all left.
That's where I'm at.
That's where you're at with Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
Shenmue 3.
There's a reason why Sega never wanted to make that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why no third-party company would do that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they made good fucking hard-earning taxpayers throw down their own fucking money to make that piece of dog shit.
It's kind of mind-boggling, really, because, like, the sandbox narrative gameplay thing is so, like, better. It's so easier to do now. So, like, why can't you? Like, why can't they just, like...
Sega does that, and they do it better, and they do it on a more consistent basis. It's called Yakuza.
Yakuza. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, just make, like...
Yeah, because Yu Suzuki is a fucking crazy person. His games all cost $1 billion, and they don't sell very well. So they started making Yakuza, and those games sell great!
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. No, yeah.
Man, I really want to play Yakuza 5. It was free on PlayStation this month.
Yeah.
I need a PlayStation 3.
Make a
Yakuza... Does your roommate still have his?
I think so, yeah.
Can I borrow his PlayStation 3?
Yeah, you can borrow it to his PlayStation 3, I'm sure you can.
Because I want to play some Yakuza 5.
Yeah, just ask him, man. Just ask
I played all of them.
I mean, he's out of town. Like, actually coming up, he'll be out for like a month. He'll be out digging somewhere for like a month.
Sneak it out of the house.
Well, just ask.
I'm going to go keister it out of your house.
You're going to go Deus Ex.
Okay.
And that, move the fridge.
He'll come home and be like, hey, Brandon, why is the fridge in the hallway? I think Hoss stole the PlayStation.
I was going to move it back, but he wanted to be his calling card.
Hey, Deus Ex is fucking cool, man.
Go watch that Deus Ex video.
That's my kind of game, dude. I don't know if you can tell, like, immediately. You're like, oh, Hoss is going to be into this.
Oh, okay. Oh, Hoss is a crazy person. He'll enjoy this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, make Yakuza 6 Shenmue 3. That's what you should do.
No.
Just put the Shenmue story into Yakuza, and that way it's a Yakuza game, but just with the Shenmue story, like just intersecting.
What if instead of bullshit dialogue that you have with non-important NPC characters, you just asked them if they saw a black car coming by? What about a man named Lon D?
A man named Lon D.
Have you seen any sailors around here?
The day the rain turned to snow.
Tonight, oh, fuck that game. You seen Tom at the hot dog truck?
Yeah, you didn't shit on this game like as much as you did on our episode about it. Now you're like just shitting on it.
No, I'm just saying that like it was fine for the time.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But it's been like 17 years.
Yeah, it's true.
Who gives a shit about it now?
Well, you know, reboots happen. You know, sometimes they're good. You know, like. Res 4 was a while before, but in between that, Res 4 was a good reboot, so...
Res 4?
Resident Evil 4.
Oh, I thought you were saying... I was like,
sorry, Resident Evil
they've 4. Only made one Res, where have I been?
Sorry, yeah, yeah.
What year is it?
What? Where are we? Resident Evil 4, sorry. Yeah, so...
Woo!
Yeah.
Man, you just fucking tripped my mind out, man.
We were in the future all of a sudden.
I was like, oh, shit, what year is it?
What?
Shit, I've been on some mind expanders before, but you put me on that whole other shit.
Oh, man, that's good. Anyway, I guess, you know, I think we're pretty good here. There was a little bit of controversy about No Man's Sky a little bit. Figured we'd address that a little bit. Because Haas enjoys that game a lot, you know, and that's not the popular opinion right now. I think the usage dropped like 90% or something.
88%.
Pretty big drop.
Steam today announced that they were offering unconditional refunds anytime on that game.
Whoa, really? That's crazy.
I think the developer probably asked for that.
Probably. That's the thing. Like, people are kind of like, they're kind of vilifying those guys a bit. I think the one thing they did wrong was they released the game and then they just kind of quietly backed away and they didn't, like, address any of the fact that, like, oh, we said we would be doing this and then you join a faction and you'll be running into this guy and, like, all that stuff wasn't there.
My question would be to those people is that, like, I mean, they've said it, like, multiplayer's not in this game.
Right.
Yeah. But would you rather, of a 13-member team, them go on a PR tour to tell you what's not in the game?
Right, yeah.
Or devote all 13 people to putting shit in the game?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
They don't have time to like, with a crew, that's what, you've worked on a shoestring crew before.
Right,
at a small company. It's either,
exactly,
we can be doing something, or I can be telling somebody what we're doing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
That's it, yeah, exactly, yeah. No, it's true. And again, like, I think, like, look, they're a small developer company. I'm sure they wanted to do every possible thing to get that game to be what they,
I bet multiplayer was in that game at some point,
oh,
and
yeah,
then they just couldn't get it all to work.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, it works on one-to-one basis, but doing it on a server basis, it just didn't work. I mean...
And I think most of those people, you're just going to piss them off anyway when you say, like, hey, multiplayer's not here, sorry. That's what, whoa, convenient, you know, or something, you know, they'll still bitch. But you probably...
You still waited to the last minute. Yeah, well, we found out last week that it wasn't going to fucking work. I don't know what you want from me.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing. Is just like, I think just you probably could have segmented a few minds who would have been, you know, like a little bit more like, okay, yeah, I get it. Free DLC for this or whatever. Or, you know, it's like, it's still a $60 game and it's not all of what was promised. I get that argument. I honestly do. But really, it's just, I don't know. It's a lot of entitlement. Like, dude. Like,
yeah.
To what... It just...
I'm a member of a video game forum, and man, just the self-righteous... Like, here's the thing, is that, like, when somebody tells me I don't like No Man's Sky, I reply back to them, oh, that sucks, man. I'm enjoying it, but
right.
I mean, I understand why you wouldn't like it. I totally
sure.
get why somebody wouldn't like it, but when they come to this with, how dare they... Oh, dude, whatever.
Shut up, I know.
Seriously.
Right? Yeah, it's true. It's just like, there's this...
I bought a car in 2012...
Right.
...that has had 4 recalls done on it based on the fact that sometimes the airbag just comes out.
Right, yeah.
Then, the side airbags, sometimes they just deploy.
Right.
The airbags that are in my driver and passenger seat,
yeah,
sometimes they never deploy. And then here's the best recall that we had of all.
Yeah.
In the event of a crash, the seat belts don't work.
That's a pretty big flaw, I feel.
And... I'm not running down the street screaming, oh my god, oh, fix it, whatever, move on. I gave you $50,000 for this car, fix it.
Fix
I don't
it.
Give a shit. You know, it's fine. And, you know, the things that, like, almost everything it sounds like the people wanted from this game will be in this game.
Yeah.
They're fixing it.
And
give them a little time.
And that's what kills me is, like, there's all these, like, Reddit posts of, like, stuff they said they'd be in it. A lot of that stuff is not what they said would be in it.
Battlefield,
it's stuff that was assumed would be in it. And
I'll just say this.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4 didn't work for 9 months.
It's true.
Halo the Master Chief Collection still kinda doesn't.
It kinda doesn't work. What was it? Friggin' Assassin's Creed.
Unity didn't work for like
Unity,
6 months.
Unity didn't work at all for
and
like 6 months.
And who cares?
You know, it sucks when companies do that. I'm not saying like, oh, just, you want to release a full game. But that is a full game. People don't want to talk about what's in it.
But,
and the stuff that was promised that was in the game. It's like 80% there.
And I say this all the time.
You know.
A, don't ever pre-order a video game.
Right, yeah. Because you never know what you're going to get.
Especially digital, because they'll never give you your money back,
mm-hmm,
unless you're on Steam.
Right.
B.
Yeah.
don't work yourself into a frenzy over a video game, especially when it's the first in a franchise from a company that's never made a game like this before.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, it's true.
You're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, Forza Horizon 3 is probably my most anticipated game of the year.
Right.
I hope it's pretty good.
Right.
I'm not sitting here saying it's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, because you know what's inevitable to happen when you let yourself do that?
You're not going to live up
You're
to it.
You're never going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that every person on the internet is never going to be happy with anything.
That's why the internet exists. It's because we're all not happy. That's
and,
thing.
You know, and long and short of it is that, like, even if I hated No Man's Sky,
sure.
Do you know what I'm out?
Yeah.
Like, the $30 I would lose when I traded it in?
Right, yeah. So,
Who cares?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
If $60
yeah.
means that much to you, you shouldn't be buying a video game because you have bigger concerns in life. I mean that.
No, yeah, it's true. You need to budget better.
Period.
Now, you know,
you need to not be spending your money on frivolous things if you don't have the
right.
money to go on.
And that's the thing, is just like, I don't think there's any sort of like malicious intent over the things that they weren't able to put in the game. I just think they would have saved a little bit of face if they came out and said, hey, sorry, it doesn't
have
it. We tried to.
Absolutely.
And now it would have been it. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, so it was kind of a mistake for them to just kind of, like, pass it off. But it, like you said, there's, like, 13 people. They're terrified.
But what if 4 months from now they say, and we turn the multiplayer servers on?
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
Do all these people take that back?
Right, yeah.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. They won't.
And
they won't. So, well, about time. That's what they'll say.
Traded that in months ago.
I traded in months ago. You want me to go get it again? Please.
Fine. I bought it again.
Unsub.
And, you know, that's the thing, unsub. Is that, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 shipped without its multiplayer.
Right, yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, we don't remember the outlash.
No.
You know, we don't remember the people bitching that game went, like, 6 weeks or whatever it was without its multiplayer.
Right.
That people are still playing today.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid Online didn't launch with Metal Gear Solid 5 for months.
Speaking of broken online, remember GTA 5 Online when it first came out? Woof.
Yeah.
Working great now.
And it's apparently the most popular game on the planet.
Yeah.
And I think that through the sands of time,
this thing's gonna
lot of this is going to fall away and nobody will give a shit.
Yeah, No Man's Sky 2 will be a big hit, I think.
Well, and No Man's Sky 1, we may turn around in a couple years from now and go, oh, that's a game that really came into its own.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, a lot of people weren't hard, like we did Titanfall video. A lot of people weren't hard on Titanfall when it came out. Like, they weren't...
I was brutal on that
game
when it came out.
You were brutal on the game
when it came out. Half a game is what I always said.
Yeah, you and my friend Evan, you both had the same experience. It was like, this thing, whatever, like,
and it whipped back around, and I loved it.
Just boom! After they added some stuff, they upped the pace more, and I was just like, oh yeah, this is a great game. Like, both of you did the same thing. It's crazy.
And I ended up falling in love with that game. And next week, I'll talk a little bit about the Titanfall technical test, and we'll also talk about Deus Ex: Mankind Divided.
Yes,
we'll talk about both because of those. I don't think we have time for what you've been playing this week.
No,
and I've actually got quite a few games that we'll talk about for what you've been playing next week, as we won't be doing news.
Yes,
but I've been playing a whole lot of games lately.
Yes,
but I think it's time that we finally get down to brass tacks here and talk about our old ass game of the week.
Yes,
BioShock.
BioShock. Would you kindly talk about BioShock?
What do you know about Irrational Games?
Irrational Games, not a whole bunch outside of their development of BioShock, really.
or as they were known at the launch of BioShock 1, which came much to the chagrin of Irrational Games fans, 2K Boston.
2K Boston?
They were rebranded before that game came out by 2K because they got purchased by them.
Wow.
And fans got a little bit upset of, no, that company's been around for 15 years.
Right.
And they're fucking called Irrational Games.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because I've always been Irrational Games does that thing. I didn't... 2K
and
Boston.
They actually did the same thing with the company that went on to make... BioShock 2, they were another company that ended up getting rebranded as 2K Marin.
Why would 2K, like, freaking, like, just shit on 15 years?
Granted, 2K Marin didn't have the pedigree or anything.
Right.
Well, it's like, back around, shit, I can't remember what their name was off the top of my head right now. The company that made, like, Dark Age of Camelot. Mythic.
Mythic.
They also made Warhammer Online and stuff like that back when EA was rolling everything in right around the time that the Old Republic was getting ready to launch. They rolled all of their MMO division into one company, and they called it BioWare Mythic, and then it kind of just got all scuttled under the BioWare umbrella, and then Mythic didn't exist anymore. And, you know, that kind of stuff is not necessarily uncommon, where a company wants the pedigree and the people and the brands from a company, but they want their branding to be forward.
Right.
So it was... It's kind of like what's happening right now with the company Nordic Games that bought a lot of the THQ catalog. They were Nordic Games, and they were publishing all the THQ back catalog, and now they've rebranded themselves as THQ Nordic, and then this is step two in a three-step process where eventually they're just called THQ. And because the THQ brand has a lot more sway to it than Nordic Games.
Yes.
So what you do is you combine two things, you merge the names, and then you pull the weak one off.
Right.
It's just clear corporate subjugation.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so at the time, Irrational Games was known for all kinds of these cool RTS games. They were called... not Fighting Force. They were... Shit, look that up. And they also were known, obviously, for System Shock and System Shock 2, which are some of the most influential... first-person adventure shooter horror games of the late 90s to early 2000s.
Yeah.
So yeah, Irrational Games had really kind of cut a pedigree for themselves in the first-person genre, and this was kind of their return to form. This was their return to the genre with BioShock, because the System Shock name got tied up in litigation.
That's right, okay.
Because they published System Shock through EA, but the rights to System Shock were owned by a holding company that was an intermediary, and the rights ended up falling to a law firm, which is why we just recently had System Shock and System Shock 2 re-released by that other company that's not involved at all. It doesn't have EA or Irrational or 2K on it.
Jesus.
And they're actually doing a full-on remake of System Shock 1 that actually just got kickstarted.
Right.
And they did an HD up-res of System Shock 2.
Right.
So that's kind of a long story short of saying that BioShock was basically, since they couldn't say System Shock, this was their way to make a new one of those that was not in space, but was in a very otherworldly location.
Yes.
And as you would find with BioShock Infinite later, which I'm convinced was just supposed to be called Infinite, or Infinite Shock, or something.
Something unrelated to BioShock.
Yeah. I don't think that, even though that game ends up looping itself back into the fiction of BioShock, I think they wanted that to be a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't think they wanted you to know
that. To know that it was BioShock Infinite. It makes sense. Freedom Force was the other one.
Freedom Force. I was thinking Fighting Force. No, that was a beat 'em up.
Yeah.
They made how many? Two of those?
Two of those. Freedom Force and Freedom Force versus the Third Reich.
Yeah, they were actually very cool. You can get those on Goodwill Games for like $5 a piece now. They're actually really cool tactics RTS games that are kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
And has a very, very thick pulpy narrative to it that, especially if you're into like XCOM, they're one of those.
Okay, yeah. Well, they did SWAT 4 too, and SWAT 4,
SWAT 4 was very popular.
It was a very cool game. I remember it being
definitely not like the FMV SWAT 1, which is awesome in its own way.
That's pretty good in its own way, yeah.
Those SWAT 3 and SWAT 4 ended up being very popular online shooters there for quite a while. They were actually, for the time, lookers.
Oh, yeah.
Ran on, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they ran on a very modified version of the Unreal Engine or possibly Unreal 2.
Right, yeah.
But they ran on, at the time, like kind of cutting-edge tech.
Yeah.
Which is something that feeds back into BioShock 1.
Yes.
Is that this is... of the first generation of Unreal Engine 3 games.
Yeah.
At this time, I guess, and this will probably come up just to give you a refresher, every time that we talk about an Unreal Engine 3 game early on in that Xbox 360 PS3 generation, is that engine coded itself in ways that nobody had ever done before.
Right.
It allowed you... So, back in the PS2 Xbox era, like with Unreal Engine 2 and most engines of that era, you had pixels, you laid textures on, well, you had polygons or pixels, or voxels or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You lay a texture on that, and then you could lay a transparency texture on top of that, and they called that bump mapping.
Bump mapping.
That's
yep.
how you ended up having like water run down a surface and things like that.
Yes.
This let you lay many, many, many layers on top of each other, and it allowed you to have lighting that could refract off of things in different ways and send colored lighting off of an object onto another object, and it basically... It made, in a lot of ways, options limitless in the ways that you could really harness the power of this technology.
I want to say that there is actually a tie into Disney and their the technology they use now for their animated movies. It's a similar thing where like there's refractive light off of things and everything like that.
It's a very modern technique that's it kind of goes all the way back to Quake 2 with that game having colored lighting and that being such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, it's been chasing a way to make light reflect.
Yeah.
And I think we're finally at that point. We're finally at the point where shadows render at not only exact geometry, but they render at exact frame rate.
Exact frame rate
and
as well.
Exact pixel depth.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that is really cool. Now we're getting into the point where it's not about just rendering the shadows. It's about doing soft shadowing and feathering and dithering around the edges.
Yeah.
Because if you ever look at shadows, unless you have an incredibly stark light source in an environment with no other light source, you never really cast a perfect shadow.
Right.
You end up casting many small ones, or you'll cast one from the most dominant source, and it will... feather on the edge and kind of lighten out in what they call dither near the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, the Unreal Engine 3 allowed you the opportunity to do these things that we could never do before in that kind of way.
Right.
A lot of what they did was, and if you think back to, with the exception of BioShock, because you'll be hard-pressed to find anything out of the catalog in here.
Right.
But most early Unreal Engine 3 games, you see a lot of similar textures, you see a lot of similar geometry, you see a lot... And almost every game looked the same there for a little while. And then BioShock came along, and these guys were fucking wizards. I don't know how they did it.
Right.
For them to come 1 year after Gears of War, the game that was the coming out party for that engine, that was made first party by Epic, that had Microsoft backing as a first party exclusive for a console... A game that was built around a console, for you to come out with something later, it's like, it's on a 360, but it's also a PC game, whatever.
Yeah.
And have it launch, and with the exception of a couple of things that had to get patched out later that dealt with, like, frame doubling and some VSync issues, it launched kind of flawlessly on the 360, and it has its own look.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, kind of spend too much time on the look, but I think so much of that... feeds into every facet of this game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The number one thing that always comes to mind whenever I think of BioShock, the initial plane crash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Swimming through that water, the way that you see instantly that water is going to be an effect in this game, and the way that it washes over the camera, the way it washes over objects, the way that it has a weight to it, and it has a presence.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see like this awesome lighthouse, and man, the trailer that they have for that Ultimate Collection, where at the very end, where she starts and she finishes with every time there's a lighthouse, and I'm like, thinking back to the end of BioShock Infinite, it gives me chills, and I'm like, oh man, every time it starts with a lighthouse.
This is a goosebumps.
Oh, fuck. Like, I don't often get too swept up in the story with video games, but I got kind of carried away by that game.
You'll go through entire games enjoying them intently and not knowing what the story is.
Skip the story.
Skipping the story entirely. Bayonetta is a good one of that.
Don't give a shit.
You love those games, but you don't care what that lore
is. Nope, I just know that she's a tall lady.
She's a tall lady with magic powers.
Yep,
with magic.
She can shoot hair.
She can shoot hair and guns, whatever. I don't know. She's a witch.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, one of the things that you'll immediately, if you are listening to this and haven't played BioShock, that you'll immediately be kind of shocked by as soon as you go into the environments is that this is an underwater city.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very steeped in Ayn Rand.
Yeah, very Ayn, you know, very... well, it's kind of anti-Ayn Rand as well in certain ways, because Ayn Rand's very much of, you know, she's very anarchistic, you know, outside of any sort of communist government. Because you grew up in communism.
Well, he's anti-communism, he's anti-socialism, yeah. He's anti-capitalism.
Oh, he's anti-capitalism as well?
He wants to make his own world.
Okay, I thought he was like very like oh, capitalism is the, and he's like crazy. And
But you're under the foot of the man in capitalism.
That's true, yeah.
And
yeah.
His is the view that you want to modify yourself.
Right.
You want to change yourself. You want to make yourself the person you couldn't be on the surface.
You want to shoot lightning?
You can do that.
Yeah, you can do that here, yeah.
And I very much envision, like, almost like a Great Gatsby, like, you know, yeah, him, yeah. Like, welcoming his first guest in here and saying,
yeah.
You know, as soon as you walk in, it says, no gods, no kings, only man.
Only man, yeah.
And it's, you know, the power of human thought, the power of ingenuity. I mean, sure. As you're sinking in that submersible, you know, he's saying, like, you know, I chose to build something beautiful, I chose to build something impossible, you know, I chose to build something, and then, like, you know, it's rapture.
Rapture.
And you end up, you know, sinking out, and you go across, and you pan across this entire, like, think 1940s, 1950s New York.
Yeah.
Except it's under the sea. And when you arrive there, you find out that kind of freedom,
yeah,
that kind of ability for you to change yourself, for you to make your own fate, for you to defy the gods,
right?
In a lot of ways,
yeah.
On New Year's Eve of 1959, yeah. Tore this entire city apart,
yeah, yeah.
And that's when everything went to shit,
yeah.
It's
just people went crazy. There's, you know, because you augment yourself with like crazy, you know, lightning and bee powers and stuff like that. And it's just there are these crazy people throughout the whole thing. They're talking to, you know, baby carriages with revolvers in it. Like they're just completely they're like homeless people that like have no human contact. They're just crazy.
One of the interesting things that happens is that you end up with all these children who become orphaned.
Yeah.
Because the parents no longer want
them. Parents don't want them. Yeah. They're just like, yeah.
No, I'm off to become myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I won't be held down by these, you know, traditional values. Mm-hmm. And they end up being adopted.
Yeah.
By these workers.
Yeah. By these
big daddies, as they are, these men in these giant deep sea suits,
yeah,
that are there to fix Rapture, to keep it as one piece. Like,
right.
As you're, you know, one of the initial scenes in the game is of a big daddy like fixing a broken tunnel,
mm-hmm.
And their only focus,
yeah,
is keeping them safe,
right? Keeping the orphans safe, keeping the girl safe.
That's it. And, yeah. You know, you find out, you know, through a lot of things that the choices that are made and the things that happen in that game are all tied to one phrase.
Right. Would you kindly?
And I don't want to go too deep into that. But there is, you know, I guess we'll talk a little bit on spoilers. Like, you know, Andrew Ryan is pasted for the first half of this game as the big bad villain.
Right.
And, you know, about halfway through that game, Andrew Ryan, when faced with the actuality of, you know, his city dying and nothing being left and his vision being false,
right.
Puts a 9-iron through his fucking skull.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right in front of you.
Right in front of you.
And you find out that, you know, a man who's been guiding you since your first seconds,
mm-hmm.
has been using
a key phrase.
A trigger phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in a note that told you to go there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the very beginning of this game, when you're on a plane before the plane crashes over the ocean, you open up a letter that is asking you to board this flight, and it begins with, "Would you kindly?" It's your trigger phrase. It's this mnemonic device, mm-hmm. used to get you to submit to Atlas's will.
Yeah.
And Atlas, human flaws are what doom Rapture.
Right.
But the final death knell in the coffin of Rapture, the thing that brings it to its demise, is the insane drive of a man named Atlas.
Yeah, yeah.
And he dominated everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. You know, he used plasmids to bend them to his will, and he became the most powerful man in a city full of nothing.
Yeah,
and
in a collapsed city under the sea. It's like, yeah.
And throughout the game, like, there's a lot of mechanics that are tied to, you know, you are a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily know what you're doing in a lot of these cases, so you start murdering these big daddies.
Yeah.
You're given a choice, like a lot of games of this era, between murdering the child and getting more at him.
Yeah.
Or saving them, getting less, but a promise from the keeper, this woman who's actually watching over all of these children, that she will pay you back.
Right.
And it ends up, as all games do, if you're a fucking goody two shoes, you always end up doing better, blah, 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 blah.
it really peeves you off.
Like,
why can't I get a better, the outcome, taking.
Why these, let me if you're gonna fucking hamstring
it? If you're gonna hamstring it and not reward you enough.
Yeah.
It should be a reward in different ways. Equal reward, different ways. That's what it should always be. So
that's why Infamous did it right.
That's why Infamous did it right. Infamous did do it right. Then a little bit of a it's weird because you have to like make these decisions, but then you can just murder whoever. But whatever. That's
well. The funny thing is that like all the decisions in a game like Infamous can just boil down to good or evil.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, good or evil.
Well, it's like one of those Mein Kampf tests from Blade Runner.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's a turtle laying on its shell in the middle of the road. Do you turn it over? You turn it over? Why haven't you turned it over? You're like, No!
No,
Void Comp. That's
Void Comp. Void Comp. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mein Comp. That's a Hitler thing.
Yeah, that's a Hitler thing. I was like, wait, Mein Comp? Was that what that was called? Yeah,
Void Comp.
It took me for a second. I was like, is that what that was called?
I haven't watched Blade Runner in like 9 months. I'll probably watch it again.
It's been a while.
That's a great movie.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
But yeah, I think that the thing with BioShock that really impresses me is that is a very big, wide-open, sprawling game that has Metroid trappings in it that are tied to your ability sets.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That send you back, you know, traversing past areas you've gone to before. Mm-hmm. You fight a lot of interesting bosses and a lot of interesting scenarios. There's a lot of really good hacking in there that's basically the NES game Pipe Dream. There's a whole lot of, like, I mean,
it is Pipe Dream.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Just like System Shock and System Shock 2, there's all those awesome voice recordings that you can find, those audio logs that informed an entire generation of video games.
Those audio logs, so many games tried to copy that.
Yeah.
And those
and nobody
audio,
did it that good.
There is nothing that's that good.
No.
It made you want to get every freaking one of those. You could go through that whole game without getting a single one. It made you want to get every damn one of them. It was beautiful. Beautifully done.
One of my favorite audio logs is one that you get very, very early in the game. And it's from the dance hall where the New Year's Eve celebration was going to be. And it's the woman who's sitting there getting drunk. She feels fat. And she's drowning her sorrows because she was an idiot to believe that Andrew Ryan would actually give her the time of day. And then when you actually start unraveling all this, you find out that Andrew Ryan was trying to keep this entire empire together and just lost track of all time.
Just lost track
and,
of her, yeah.
And it's... There's a lot of sad stories in Rapture.
Yeah, it's not like just cut and dry, like, oh, well, these bunch of these people went crazy and that's what happened. No, it's a slow descent into madness, let's say. It's beautifully told.
That town was bled down to hell.
Yeah, it just was.
They just happened to be conveniently located.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It just happened to be kind of pretty close. Pretty okay.
I love BioShock. I guess no conversation about that game is complete without kind of... being a little bit honest about that game, that game does not end well. It falls on its face.
It does a little bit.
Narrative a bit near the end.
Yeah. Well, the part where it's the "Would you kindly" part, that's like, what? Like,
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about like the last boss fight's bad.
The last boss fight. Exactly.
I think the ending is kind of shitty.
Yeah. We're just kind of.
It felt like they had to end that game.
Yeah, right. And I was like, oh, here's the end.
Because that game had been delayed like 2 times already, and I feel like they maybe had like a little bit more...
Oh, we gotta get out the door! Just have the elevator doors closed. Just go!
Maybe that's just me projecting, but I just feel like they might have had slightly grander visions of where that would go. But, you know, I think the BioShock, it's a game that stands up and holds the test of time.
I will say it also ends kind of like Portal 2, in a way. So I feel like that was kind of like the... That's kind of the trend of the time, so I don't know. Maybe that was just like a bit of its era, let's say. But yeah, you're right. It kind of falls flat. You know, it's like
it
kind of a flat note.
Kind of just ends.
Yeah,
and
it just kind of ends.
It's it's okay. If that had been the only thing from Bioshock that we had ever gotten, I would have been happy with it.
Sure.
I would have been really happy if we never got Bioshock 2.
I think
like a lot game's of people probably. Terrible.
Yeah, you do not like that game at all.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
It's shit from an ass.
Can you be... Did you not want to be the Big Daddy? Because in that game, you are the Big Daddy. Did you know that? Where does that take place? Is it a sequel or is it like a sidequel? Where does that take place?
Well, they blow up the city at the end.
Right, yeah. So I'm thinking...
It's before 1.
Okay, so it's a prequel, technically. So.
And then part of it, I think, does take place during
1. During, yeah. It's like it goes side into it. I figured it did, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you, like, start fighting the character you are or something at some point.
Now, Minerva's Den...
Right.
The DLC for Bioshock 2
you enjoy, yeah.
is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
The story that tells...
Yeah.
Real good.
Real good there. The thing they had to... Because they... Was Bioshock 2, was that all the same people, all the same stuff, or was
no,
it kind of...
No, 2K Marin.
That's right, they flushed it out.
None of the irrational guys.
That's right, yeah, so they just flushed that one out because Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite are the only two listed under irrational, so...
One thing that I'm really excited about with that Bioshock upgrade...
Yeah?
Is that, do you know what we get?
What's that?
We're going to get a commentary track for the game.
Mmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I really want to hear what the developers have to say about what it was like making Bioshock 1.
Right, yeah. I like commentary tracks. They're pretty fun. You get to get some good inside knowledge from people. Yeah.
And the director of Bioshock is a bit of an outspoken fellow.
Is
so
he?
So I'm curious to see where that goes.
Yeah,
but
we'll see where that goes.
I don't want to belabor the point too much. Bioshock is a game that you absolutely have to play... I think, especially with this HD up-res, it will look great, but I think it even holds up in vanilla format, so even if you just got a 360 laying around and want to play it that way and haven't before, or even just want to go back and, you know, relive the magic for the first time, it's definitely worth your time.
Yeah.
Man, it's a hell of a fucking game.
It is a hell of a game. It still works today. Again, the Unreal Engine, like, there's reasons people make, like, remake stuff, like fan remakes of games in the Unreal Engine, because it's real fucking good. It's just, it works. Is it open source right now? Is that why everybody's able to use it? Or
Here's the thing. With Unreal Engine, it's free, and you don't have to pay any licensing fees on it until I think you've made $100,000.
Okay, that's interesting.
So if you just make something with it and give it away, you never have to pay anything.
You don't have to pay anything? Yeah, there you go. Because there are games, I know, built entirely on it that just were released.
Like, yeah, it's just like Unity.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay any fees into Unity until you make any money off it.
Until you make money, yeah. So that's a pretty good model, you know. So, yeah. Make games, everybody. Learn how to program and go make some games.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good times.
I love Bioshock.
Bioshock's a good game. It's a good game.
Go play it.
Go play that game.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Next week on the Video Destruct Podcast. We're here weekly, every week. Go check us out on videodestruct.com. Go check us out on Facebook, at VideoDestruct. Also, follow Haas on Twitter. He goes at Haas underscore buddy.
I talk to wrestlers.
He talks to wrestlers a lot.
JBL tweeted at me this week.
Yeah, real weird.
So did Sabu.
Sabu. You got retweeted by Sabu. All sorts of
weird.
Stuff. Very bizarre. I don't know how that keeps happening. Anyway, but also, be sure to check out our live stream that's coming up. We're going to plug that every single time. Live stream coming up.
Just go to Extra Life, extra-life.org.
Yep.
And search for the team Video Destruct. I've got a page up. Brandon's got a page up. Justin's got a page up. Excuse me, Gus has a page
has
up.
A page up.
And yeah, feel free to donate to us. Watch us on October 29th. We're doing it a week before the actual live stream date just due to scheduling.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're blowing it out big this year. We're going to be doing it live from my company's offices.
Yeah.
And it should be a hell of a time.
Yep. Should be a good time. There we go. But that's it. This episode, the Video Destruct Podcast, guys. We'll see you next time.